It's time for the book interview.
Boring books, that's all.
Books? Are you nuts?
No, nothing boring here. Money Life will bring you a book that is out right now. A book that will help you learn more about your finances.
A book that will make Ulysses look like it was written in crayon.
Smart books by smart authors that can help you decide how to best manage your money.
It's not a book! It's a weapon!
It's a weapon against making the kind of mistakes that people make in their financial lives. Money Life brings you the books, the authors, and the information to protect you from these missteps and help to keep your financial future secure.
I read your book. I liked it very, very much.
Don't just take it on faith. Hear the authors talk in depth about their books and give you the facts and figures to back up their information.
It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving me the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from your book?
No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
Welcome to the book interview here on Money Life, where I'm very pleased to be joined by a friend. Her name is Elise Glink, and she is the author of 100 Questions Every First-Time Home Buyer Should Ask. And the good news is I now have the updated fourth edition, which means that I can donate the third edition to my library, because however many editions she does, this is the book that my kids will get when they tell me they are ready to buy a house. This is the book I wish I had when I bought my house. This is the book that I think after last weekend's storms, my neighbors should have been reviewing, even though none of them bought their first house on my block. If you want to learn more about 100 questions every first time home buyer should ask, or any of her books, go to thinkglink.com. She also runs a website called bestmoneymoves.com, which is really worth checking out because, well, might help you ease your financial stresses. And she's on Twitter at Glink, but right now she's on Money Life. Elise, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here, Chuck.
Always great to get a chance to chat with you. And while my audience is not members of the journalistic fraternity, you and I will be sharing the dais at a Society of American Business Editors and Writers event in a couple of months. But you came out with a new edition of the book. And I got to ask, because like I said, whatever is the current edition, that's the one that's going to go to my kids when they're ready to buy their first house. But how much has changed and what has been driving the changes that you had to come out with a new edition when buying a home shouldn't be all that much different now than it was like when I bought my home 20 plus years ago?
Except that everything's changed. And not only has everything changed, but the people, the generation that's buying is completely different. So millennials have finally, as of last year, come full force into home buying. And the real estate industry has waited for a decade for this to happen. But what happened with the housing crisis kind of got in the way for millennials, and they have literally time-shifted all the major milestones in a young life, like graduating from college and paying off that debt and moving out of their parents' houses and, oh, I don't know, getting into relationships, getting married and having kids. All of that has been time shifted by between 6 and 10 years. And so what you're seeing now is that the average age to buy a house, which, by the way, was 26 when you and I bought our first houses, is now nearly 34. And that in itself is such a remarkable change. I felt like I needed to rewrite the whole book from the perspective of somebody who is now in their early 30s and just thinking about having a permanent relationship, maybe having kids, if not having kids, a dog, which is a big driver of home buying these days, and redo the instructions on how to buy your best house.
Well, in fact, I made the comment about my neighbors. So we lived through the power outage. I was without power for almost 60 hours this weekend. So were my neighbors, the same amount of time. But my neighbors, when they had moved into their house or when they had bought their houses, and we've had several turnover in the last couple of years, had not asked a lot of the questions that were going to be like, hey, what happens to this place when the power stops, when you're going through a big storm? And they all suffered every sling and arrow that this storm could dish out. Water in basements, water or whatever, leaking this. Oh, you know, the previous owner put on this addition and built it themselves and whatever. How much these days is like how happy you're going to be with a house, really sort of finding out what you can about, you know, stress testing the piece of property itself and all those other sorts of things?
You've got to really think it through, right? So people who are looking online at houses, one of the things that doesn't often come up is, oh, what does the basement smell like for example, or what does the attic look like, for example? And actually taking the time to go through a house and look at the physical house itself. It sounds like crazy advice that I'm giving, but believe it or not, there's a growing cadre of people who are going to buy a house sight unseen online this year. They just will absolutely do everything electronically, digitally, and the first time they see their house is either just before they go to the closing or just after the closing when they move in. There's no reason in the world that you should be buying a house sight unseen. There's just too many things that can go wrong, and you know that better than anyone else because I remember having a conversation with you as you were hanging outside your house window painting the outside of your house.
Yeah, well, in fact, you and I at one point did an interview for your show while I was painting my house. I do recall
That's right.
That. But I mean, that distinctly, for example, I had two neighbors who, when they bought their house, had to replace septic systems. That was something that was covered, and they did the finances. They never did the land survey to find out that, oh, if you build a big mound and it slopes towards your house, guess where the water's going to go when it rains?
Right. There's different. I know it sounds intuitive, right? But millennials are really interesting. They have perhaps not ever taken care of a house or watched somebody take care of a house. They don't have these kinds of basic skills. And a lot of this has to do with the way that young people live their lives today. A lot of it online, through a phone, through a computer, and not as much experience out in the real world. And so when it comes time to buying a house, their first instinct is to crowdsource it, which is great, except that everybody in the crowd is also a millennial who also doesn't have that kind of great experience. Getting people to get off their phones and out into the real world is a big part of understanding how housing works, understanding why you need a professional home inspector, even if you're buying new construction, and what can go wrong with new construction. You know, there's like 480 pages of detail in this book, and about 85% of it is new. The questions are new. The way that people think today about buying a house, when you can get a mortgage in 8 seconds, how you go through the process and why you might want to take a little longer to get approved for that loan, how you might want to shop it around, things have changed just a bit in almost every single part of the home buying experience.
So what that really means is that what should have changed about your book that didn't was the title, because I have not bought a house in over 20 years. But as I'm thinking about downsizing, as I get a little closer to retirement and what have you, I will be buying my first house in that long, only the third house of my life, I might add. So chances are good that I should be reading whatever the most current edition of your book is too, right?
If you haven't bought a house in the last 5 or 6 years, feel free to treat yourself like a first-time buyer. There's just no reason to try and pretend like you have a lot of experience here. The agents are different. The way agents work with clients today is very different. How you go about thinking about financing and all the other kinds of tricks of the trade, that things that you might have done 15 or 20 years ago, is different. The way that credit has infiltrated every single part of our lives is a little bit different. And the way you're going to have to worry about the fraud that is coming down the pike, there's an incredible scam going on right now where people get contacted by their title or closing agent, title company, closing agent, escrow agent, and they send the money to the escrow agent only to find out that it's a complete scam and their escrow company never actually contacted them. So they're out the entire amount of the down payment or even the total amount of the housing price because of the way that phishing and vishing scams are so sophisticated today. And so being forearmed is the best way to go about it.
Let's take this over to your other stuff that you're doing. I talked about Best Money Moves and bestmoneymoves.com. And a lot of that is work about financial stress and helping people to relieve financial stress. Well, it goes together realistically, doesn't it? Because as much as we'd like to think home sweet home and everything that goes with it, trust me, my neighbors lived through a fair amount of financial stress this past weekend when their houses were in jeopardy. So how do you also make sure that as you're going through the home buying process, you are not putting yourself up for a lifetime of financial stress with it?
Best Money Moves is actually an employee benefit. We sell it business to business. Businesses buy it. They give it to their employees. They help them measure financial stress, and then the employer gets to see what's going on in a statistical level. On the individual level, what we've done is take the information that people need to know about their budgets, about how numbers actually work when it comes to being a homeowner, all the extra expenses. And millennials, you know, when they come into the marketplace today, it's all about how they are experiencing the world, right? It's all about experiences for them. They don't think much about the fact that they're spending $100 a weekend on Lyft or Uber or whatever. It's they want to get to see their friends and they don't want to drive drunk, all good things. But understanding how your budget actually works together, understanding all of the different pieces of that budget and how you need to leave room for the experience, and so you've got to reduce the price of the house you're buying so that you can fit everything in. That kind of slotting stuff together is one of the things that we try to help people with at Best Money Moves, but also in the book where we walk through the different kinds of experiences that you have and want to have money for.
Well, Elise, it's great stuff. It has always been great stuff. It's better stuff now. Like I said, whatever the most current version is, well, it's what my kids are going to get when they're ready to buy a home. I think it's probably what I'm going to have to review when I get ready to buy another home. Thanks so much for joining me. I look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll talk again.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Elise Glink, everybody. She is the head of bestmoneymoves.com. She's the author of 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. You can get more information at thinkglink.com, on Twitter, @glink. All right, we just hit the halfway poll on the March 7th edition of Money Life. But halfway, it's like we barely got started. Up next, collective wisdom from Hightower's Global Investment Solutions. And then, Janet Brown from No Load Fund X will be here for the market call. Stay tuned. This is Money Life.